There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Go ahead, Sonal.
All right, been great listening to you, Steph. You've kept me entertained. Best of luck to you and Simon, and thanks for all the fish.
That's about.
Your confused look tells me you don't know what that's about.
I don't, but you're welcome.
I will surely miss hearing your voice over the radio on the afternoon while commuting in the city. You are my favorite of Dubai. Wish you the best of luck and prosperity in your new adventure. That's from Aisha.
Where are all these people on the figures? Thanks, Aisha.
And Hisham has said, Steph was the voice of radio since I moved to Dubai. Followed her from morning radio to afternoon going home radio. Really miss the show too. Am I right in saying the ticket is going to stop too? Well, this is... The ticket will be replaced. Mark Lloyd is going to come back with a new concept called Sounds of Summer.
It's going to be way better than what we did together. Promise you, it's going to be some awesome music. I'm really jealous, actually, that he's getting to do this. He's going to have a great time. Make sure you tune in for that. 1st of July is Mark's new show. It's going to be a project that happens over the summer. And you can jump online, if you like, to bio1038.com, rate the music on there, and perhaps win yourself a holiday for four to Sicily, which would be very nice. Don't skip over the bad messages, Sonal.
There are like, no... Which ones did I skip over?
Steph the Krusty? I think that means living in the van.
I wonder. I didn't quite get it.
I might get crusty.
Please do elaborate, whoever that was.
Stage door.
It is lovely to hear from you. Keep your messages coming in. And remember, you can always follow me at... what am I again? At Offair Steph, that's right. Which is, it works now, doesn't it? Completely. Follow me on Instagram or on Twitter. We are joined by our wonderful panel of local thespians this afternoon. Hi, guys.
Hi, my name's Penny McKenzie. And we were going to talk about what our favourite... mention what it was. Yeah, so my favourite play at the moment is The Lion in Winter. And my second favourite play at the moment is The History Boys.
Hi, I'm Liz from Constellation, and I'm going to cheat and have two favourite plays too. Either Metamorphosis by Stephen Berkoff or Endgame by Samuel Beckett. And I love both of them, and I just couldn't decide. But I think it's interesting as well that people always say what their favourite movie is, what their favourite song is, but very rarely do I hear people say what their favourite play is. Maybe it's a little more niche, but, you know, listeners, maybe you want to also send in your favourite play, because I'd really like to know what people enjoy.
Do you have one, Sonal?
I do. It's a little bit more mainstream. Wicked.
I've not seen that.
Didn't Mark Lloyd say he really liked Wicked
as
well?
He did like Wicked.
He's a musical theatre boy.
Do you have one?
Trying to think what would be my favourite. I really like Blue Man Group. Back in the day, can we class that as theatre?
Yeah, sure.
Well, performing arts, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
I think my favourite is always what I'm doing at that moment in time.
You're very in the present.
Very in the present.
Although, if it's to believe, there is no present. There is only a past and a future. Because where is the present?
That is so philosophical. As you say the thing, it no longer exists.
Yeah, it's gone. That's it. Things we're going to talk about today, we've got a few discussion points. We're going to start with being an actor. Now, Dubai Creative Clusters Authority have just introduced something called Go Freelance, the freelance visa. Tell me about this.
Yeah, that's right. So obviously there are lots of freelance visas already in Dubai, but this is a new concept really for the creative people. And you can have through this a visa to be an actor, to be a theatre director, to be a writer, even to be a theatre critic, which I think some of these categories are new for Dubai. So we're all in the creative community pretty excited about that.
What would you do before?
It's a bit tricky, to be honest with you. I mean, they're not officially named as separate visas. So you can sort of, you'd have to fall under another more general category. But the fact that they're now actually named, I think, is a huge step forward into recognising that there are people here who are full-time professional actors, writers and directors.
It is amazing. Do you know anybody who's gone through the process yet?
I think it's very, very new. They've just announced this. Well, I know people that have gone to... 2454 in Abu Dhabi before, but now we can do that in Dubai.
7,500 dirhams.
Yep.
How does that sound?
Yeah, you know, it's a difficult one because it's not an industry that pays terribly well. So that's quite a big chunk of money out of a person's pocket. But by the same token, compared to what other visas cost, it's not a lot.
Exactly.
You've got to offset it against what your potential earnings are, yeah.
And if you're opening a company, say, for example, that's much more expensive. But yeah, the industry is not particularly well paid at the moment. Hopefully that will change again in the future. But at the moment, it is quite a lot of money for people to find, I think.
And what do you think has made them do this? Is it pressure from people who say, look, this is what I do and there isn't something for it?
I honestly don't know, but I suspect that is the case because, as I said, you've got right now quite a wide community of people who all work in the performance industry, and I think that this has been somewhat overdue, that this is something for them, yeah.
I wonder if you get a little card with what you do on it, because I could do this, couldn't I?
It could be quite cool.
If it says actor, it could be quite cool.
Well, if you're stamping your visa as well has actor on it, that would be great.
Oh, I'd love that. Okay, I'll look into that one. Do look into that online if you're interested in doing that. If you are a director or an actor or a writer or a critic, there are not many people who would say critic is my profession who live in Dubai, especially when it comes to the theatre.
It's not, no, but again, I think it's something that's, we've talked about this before with Phil, because obviously he was looking at the Camel Stub earlier on. But, you know, I think that a theatre critic is something that's really, really needed here, because if you're not criticised, and that could be a good critic or a bad criticism, if you're not criticised at all, then how do you sort of improve? How do you change? How do you know what you've done well, what you've done badly? And it is a subjective thing, criticism.
I was just about to say, because a good theatre critic, you don't want them to be subjective, but the point is that
but it is subjective.
It always lands up becoming subjective. You know, it's not always just on the quality of what you are seeing. It often becomes, well, it might be great, but I didn't like it.
But the point is that you have a range of them. So ideally, you don't just have one, the critic. So if you have a number of them and they're all giving different opinions, then hopefully you come to some sort of general consensus. And that's the way that it works in sort of more developed, I guess, theatre places such as London, such as New York. So you have a whole range of critics going to see a show. They will give their opinions and publish those online or in print beforehand, and then people have an idea whether they want to see that show based on those criticisms.
Liz, can you remember being on stage knowing that there's a critic in the audience?
I can, but I really do genuinely think it's a good thing.
It absolutely is, but I can tell you it's the most terrifying experience, because you know the critic is there and you just don't want anything to go wrong, and it will be the time where something will go wrong. You know, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh, my goodness.
I know how you feel. Like, it's horrible. Sometimes they will fly people over to listen into radio shows, and you know afterwards they're going to sit you down and re-listen to it with you and rip you apart. Like, once, I remember going upstairs to the boardroom, lovely guy called John Simons, went through our show, and he was like, what is this diatribe? Like, ripped me apart. And at the end of it, he actually hugged me. He went, I think you need a hug. But it's brilliant. And I think having the criticism is what makes you better.
Without a doubt. Absolutely. I agree 100%. But it is nerve-wracking.
Yeah, absolutely. On both fronts. I think just saying, though, everything is fantastic isn't really helpful to move forward.
We're going to be asking, can anyone be an actor? What is an actor? Do you need to be trained to be an actor? There's quite a lot of people, I think you'd be surprised, who you will know very well, who never, ever went to acting school.
Stage door.
I could give you some facts, if you like, on the ticket today. Some good water cooler information. You know Guns N' Roses are coming for Formula One?
Oh, yeah, they are, of course.
I heard that they did a gig the other day called the Download Festival. Guess how much they got paid to do it?
No idea.
£5 million to do it. And I was like, how much money do they have at Formula One?
Wow.
And they also asked for backstage the size of a football pitch to have their backstage area.
What do you think they need to do with that?
Don't know, but they also wanted porcelain toilets. And I thought, not surprised, really. Should we get back into the sadness?
Oh, absolutely. Let's go. Okay, this one is from Fauzia. Fauzia, Steph, you will be terribly missed. You have a knack with the gab. You sound excited about this new venture. Good luck.
A knack with the gab.
Dawn says, sounds awesome, Steph. Have fun. Good luck and best wishes to you both. Fadiha has said, we will miss you, dear Steph. Best of luck and wishes. And Marlon has said, I'm going to miss you, Steph. You make me laugh all the time. Good luck. Another one from Sam, who's a regular listener. Steph, it's been wonderful listening to you on the ticket over the last few years. You will be missed. All of the best.
I'm going to miss you guys. Tell you what, though, if you follow me on Instagram, at OffAirSteph, then I might do something else in the future. We'll see. Thinking maybe I might move into podcasting.
That's a tease.
You can edit all of the mistakes out of that. As someone just texted in, don't you mean critique rather than criticism? Yes, we do. We are talking Stage Door this afternoon. Theatre, not just local theatre, but theatre from all around the world. We've got our guests with us.
Hi, I'm Liz.
And I'm Penny.
Now, we were talking about being an actor because there's this new Go Freelance visa where you can be a director, an actor, a writer, a critique. And we're asking, can anyone be an actor?
It's an interesting question because ultimately the answer is yes. Yes, they can. There are people who are trained who have been to drama school for 3 years or more than 3 years, people who have trained at uni, people that regularly do workshops and classes. But there are many, many famous actors who have never, ever been trained and have just gained experience on the job.
Don't tell me any of them because do you know what I've got?
What have you got?
I've got a quiz for you two.
Uh-oh.
Oh no.
You are the ladies that know your stuff when it comes to actors. So, can you tell me which one of these actors did not go to acting school? Sonal, can you keep the scores, please?
Absolutely.
Penny, you're going to go first.
Okay.
I don't want you to confer whatsoever with Liz, not even looking in each other's direction and doing those eyes.
This is payback, isn't it?
The pressure.
Absolutely. So, I don't want any or anything like that. Okay. First one, Jim Carrey.
No.
Okay.
No.
I can tell you, you're both right. He has not been at acting school. He couldn't afford to enroll in an acting school. When he was a teenager, his family actually lived in a van and he thought, you know what would be the best way out of this? To get out of poverty, I'm going to go into acting and get my family out of the van.
That's very ambitious because very few actors get to that level where they could actually get out of poverty by acting.
Although it worked.
It worked for him. Happy days.
What about Jessica Chastain?
I would say yes.
I'm going to say yes too.
This is no fun when you get them right. She
We're just
did.
Guessing.
She went to Juilliard in New York City. You know that acting school?
I do.
Is it a big
it's
one?
It's very famous.
Okay. She had a scholarship funded by the late Robin Williams and she graduated with a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in 2003. Actors who have studied at Juilliard are considered more marketable. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly an advantage of going to drama school, to the big drama schools, like RADA and LAMDA and Central in London as well. Definitely. It's on your CV and people are like, aha. Uh-huh,
okay. It's really hard to get into, yeah. Juilliard, so she would have had some chops before she even started.
Absolutely. Thousands and thousands of applications each year for about 40 places, I think.
Don't get many redheads, though, do they? That's got to have
helped. You've got a little bit of an ambition there.
Applications in.
Next.
What about Forest Whitaker?
No.
I'm just going to be different and say yes.
Oh, this is where we're going to split you up then. Who am I going to say? Penny, it's a...
Yay! No! I'm crushed.
His story is actually quite a unique one. He initially attended California State Polytechnic University. He was on a football scholarship and then he got an injury. So he changed his major to drama. Was later accepted to the Music and Drama Conservatories at the University of Southern California. And he also got a scholarship to Berkeley, California, to the branch of the Drama Studio London.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah. What about Brad Pitt? Did he go to acting school?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Penny!
Come on!
I am so good at this game. That's for you, Liz. He was working at McDonald's when he saw an audition for an extra in a movie. So from then on, he slowly built his acting career without setting foot in an acting school whatsoever. I have got one more. What are the scores on the doors, Sonal?
We're 4-2.
Yeah, shush. Just
Liz
shush.
Okay, Liz is in the lead. I'm going to say this is all or nothing. So if you get this right, you can't go for the same answer. And if you get this right, Penny, you take the game.
It's so unfair.
I know.
Give a dog a bone.
The rules keep changing.
Johnny Depp, did he go to acting school or did he not?
No.
But I guess yes, then.
Oh, I can tell you, Penny.
Whoop.
This is a great story, actually. He was friends with Nicolas Cage, who introduced him to his agent, who then cast him in the lead role of A Nightmare on Elm Street. He'd never been to acting school.
That's
Isn't that
astonishing.
Amazing?
Just jumping into a lead role. That's impressive.
Anyway, I digress. What were we talking about? Whether anyone can be an actor.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and again, I think the answer is yes, but I think there is a problem with that in that, you know, anyone can claim to be an actor. It's a little bit like I did a few medical courses in Canada about 4 years ago. It's a bit like I'm claiming I'm a doctor in some ways and going around telling people I'm a doctor because I did a few medical courses over a month. You know, if you do any course at all, let it say a day's course, or even if you take part in a project, a TVC, a show, you can say, right, now I'm an actor. And I do know quite a few people in Dubai that have done that, that have taken part in a workshop or done a TVC and then set them up, set their own web page up saying that they're an actor. Their Facebook profile says they're an actor. They are now an actor. So you can just be an actor if you wish to be.
Okay, but then in your opinion, what makes you able to say I am an actor, and you would consider that to be an appropriate statement?
Well, it's difficult because there is no set definition as such, and there is no, you don't, as I said, you don't have to be trained. I mean, those examples that Steph gave, you don't have to be. I mean, I think it's certainly helpful to be, but you don't need to be. But I think that having at least a few years of experience, say, instead, would be useful. I don't think training is obligatory, but training and or experience.
Yeah, I think that's what I would go for, training and or experience. Because experience teaches you what you don't know. In fact, training, not and or, training and experience or experience.
What do you class as training? Because we all watch television these days. Is that training?
No, I don't think you. I think
why
that
though?
Because I think that for an actor, it's something that it's immediate. So you are not, as a theatre actor, you are performing live to an audience. As a screen actor, then you have the camera, but
can you learn acting something skills just from watching other people? Can that be training? Just watching other people, taking it in?
To a certain extent,
do you think so?
But to a certain extent, there's some techniques you can learn. But I'll go back to one of the sort of the daddies of acting, Stanislavski, he's the dad of method acting. And he said basically that if you go to the theatre and watch an actor and then try and copy that actor, that's just copying. That's not acting, because it's not truthful. You don't believe it yourself. And if you don't believe it, how are the people that are watching you meant to believe it? It's just simply copying. It's mimicry.
Yeah, would you be able to tell the difference?
I think so, yeah, absolutely.
The audience can tell the difference. You don't have to be in the know to be able to tell the difference between a sincere and an insincere performance. It's very obvious. When you watch something, whether it's something light or whether it's something heavy, when you see it played with conviction, you are drawn. You know, we are very empathetic creatures. So if somebody is playing something really without much thought behind it, as an audience member, you feel that distance. Whereas if they're playing it with conviction, you're drawn into that with them, as you would in any other situation in life.
I think you can see that in movies as well. The movies that you respond to most are those, the character you empathize with. And you start even to take on bits of that character and see yourself in it, and you really sympathize with them. Why? Because they're truthful, because they're actually, you have suspended your disbelief for that time, and you've stopped believing that it's this actor, and you've started to believe it's this character. And the same applies in theatre.
We're going to come back and talk more about theatre. If you've got any questions for Liz and Penny, feel free to send them in. 4001. You can also do it on the free Dubai Eye app. We're talking about theatre, about acting. If you've ever wanted to get into acting, now might be a good time to get in touch with the show. Also, we're going to talk about drama schools when we come back. Going to talk about what it means to have the best drama schools on your CV. I know there's a lot of people who listen to our show whose children are actually moving to London or other cities in the world to study performing arts. Would it be a good idea to have a university that did it here, I wonder? And we'll get to that after your news, sport and weather on Dubai Eye 103.8. Your messages have been coming in thick and fast. More fast than thick.
Brandon has said, thanks, Steph, for your cheery voice and personality every afternoon. My family and I enjoyed our studio time. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And I personally take credit for Mark's new show idea, I title, I would say. All the best, Brandon and the family.
Brandon, we met at Legoland.
Oh, how lovely.
Awesome family. I was off ill and he came in and did tracks of my travels and they were amazing.
That's so great. Marco has said, you've been great, girl. Best of luck. We'll miss you. And he said, say photo one last time.
Photo. Thanks, Marco.
And then Shruti has, of course, said, don't go, Steph.
Oh, she's the one that's pushed me out, if I'm honest.
Beza Witt said, Steph is leaving? Why? She is my favorite radio broadcaster. Where can we find you now?
You can find me on Instagram or you can find me on Twitter, @OffAirSteph, and it would be lovely to connect with you on there. All right, we're talking theatre now.
Stage Door.
Got our lovely thespians in studio.
I'm Penny.
Hi, I'm Liz.
And we're talking about acting. We had a great text come in that says, people can say they are an actor, but are they a good actor? That was from Brett.
Yeah, so we need ratings, right? So this going back to being a theatre critic, I think, they could give them ratings. And then you could say, yeah, I'm an actor on level, so-and-so. No, but seriously, no, there's no way of telling that. I mean, that's, again, what the audience think, what the critics think. Are you a good actor or not?
I would like to get into drama school chat because hands up who went to drama school in the studio. You did, Liz.
Yeah, I did. Well, I have a degree in drama, but then I also went to Central for directing.
Wow. So you're the only one. Did I miss any hands?
I've taken some courses, but just for fun.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you take them?
Well, I took one actually here in Dubai, just an intro class, just for fun to meet some people to get into it, because I kind of missed the high school drama days. I always thought that was a really fun thing.
You did drama in high school?
Yeah.
Me too. It was the only thing I was good at. It's the only thing I got an A at school, doing drama. And I really wanted to go and do it after school. And my dad said, nah, that is not a career. You're not doing that. You need to get a job.
Yeah, why do parents do that? My dad did that.
He did?
Yeah. Well, that's why I have a first degree from a university as well, because my parents did the same thing.
See, I think back then, parents did do that. I don't think they're doing it anymore. I think if, like, so many people I hear of are going to performing arts.
Yeah, well, in the UK, certainly as well, it's changed because the drama schools are, you can now get a degree from a drama school, which you couldn't previously. So I think that makes a huge difference.
You know why I think it's changed? Because the people who were my age then are now the parents. And they're like, I was stopped. I'm not going to stop you.
I think there's also more career opportunities in related fields now than there were before. There's a lot of there are a lot of skills that you have in acting which are transferable into other areas. So, and I think that makes a bit of a difference. The fact that you can get a degree means that it opens up the field.
Do you think there's an X Factor effect as well? You know, you want to be a star?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone wants to be a star.
So. And only so many people can make it. And I think that's why parents do it. But as you were mentioning, there are so many more opportunities. But what are those for people that don't know what you can be with an acting degree if you're not going to be an actor?
I think that HR is a really good branch for people to go into with acting skills. I know that sounds really weird, but it does seem to work quite well.
I mean, basically, it's communication, right? Mm. I mean, what job, what role do you not need communication for? So I think to become a fantastic communicator is just so, so key in so many jobs.
Is it wrong that I instantly thought about pyramid schemes?
Yes.
One of those. A con man.
Are you going to go to drama school now, Steph? Now you've got more time?
No, I don't think so. I think that ship has sailed. However, I was thinking about that.
No, I don't think the ship gets to sail. I mean, who was it that started their career when they were in their 40s? Oh, come on.
Yes, and Judi Dench.
No, well,
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
They all made it famous after they were 40.
But actually starting a career, Alan Rickman started his career in his 40s, I think.
Did he?
See, I couldn't find anyone. I was looking online this morning for people who had started their careers later in life. And all I could find was people who had been plugging away and then became famous later in life. And I didn't know if it was possible to actually start acting.
I have a theory. I have a theory that if you want to start an acting career, it's probably, and you are talented and you are good and you've done, you know, you kept yourself in the game in terms of,
but how would you
knowledge.
Know? I mean, if you've never done it before.
But I have some ladies. They always are ladies who come to the workshops that I run in Dubai, and they're in their 50s and 60s. And it's the first time they've ever done a drama workshop before. And they said, well, you know, we've had our family now, and we've sort of done our duty by the family, and now we want some us time, and this is what we want to do. And we've been thinking about it for years. We've not done it, so you know what? Now I'm going to do it.
But even transferring that to a career, I think, is really doable because it is a hard slog. So a lot of people have dropped by the wayside. By the time you get to your 50s and 60s and your 70s even, there are not a lot of people in the game. So it's less competitive if you are good.
And you've got the enthusiasm, easy for me to say, because you're new to it.
That could be a factor as well. But that's my theory. I mean, it hasn't been tested, but I have a theory.
You know who I think of when I think of actors who started late? Did you ever see that speech that I think it was Peter Dinklage gave at a commencement ceremony or something of the sort?
And he talks about Game of Thrones?
Yes.
It's Dinklage.
Dinklage.
Definitely.
Okay.
Drinklage.
Did I say?
Maybe you're thirsty.
I remember seeing this. He was talking about sort of toiling away at this data analysis or data management type of job. And he just found it so soul crushing. And he did it for something like 10 years. And he finally decides to take the leap and, you know, look at him now. So he must have been at least in his 30s or so when he did
that.
That's
so dangerous, though, the look at him now thing, because I bet for him, for one successful person who has done that, I bet there's 500 who are now homeless. Just going, why did I throw it all away?
But you know what? If you don't try, I think it's wonderful that, you know, he took the leap of faith. I admire that so much. It's a very hard thing to do. And I think that if you've done it, just the fact that you tried is valuable. Just for yourself.
What if you've got a family? By that age, you probably have.
Yeah, it's more risky for sure, but I mean, I agree with Penny that it's a very brave thing to do. But as you said, Steph, I mean, for those that we see that are successful, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are trying, and acting is a really tough profession to break into.
We're going to come back and we're going to talk more about acting and acting skills, because I feel like these days, if you go to a drama school, if you're going to get into a good one, you have to be a triple threat. We'll talk more about that when we come back.
Stage Door.
Thank you for all of your messages. They're so lovely.
We've got one in from Faizan. He said, I've listened to Steph since her Geordie Bird days, and I think she has personality grown. Her personality has grown right in front of her listeners, from being a radio DJ to being a radio personality with a penchant for travel, cinema, and art forms. Best of luck with life's adventure.
Thank you so much. That's really nice.
Sakib has said, we are going to miss your... Wow, Steph. Let's hear it.
Wow!
And Brett has said, we love listening to Steph since we moved to Dubai 10 years ago. It was so much fun being her teammate on World War 92, and I hope she has a great time back home in her castle.
That was the last time I did any exercise. So bad. Hey, if you want to follow me, then you can on Instagram, @offairsteph. And I've got a few new followers, Sonal.
That's wonderful. You can also send all of your texts into 4001 or send them to us on the Dubai Eye messaging app for free. Our goal is to try to make Steph shed a few tears today.
Do you know who's following me?
Who?
Kaula986. Hello. Neha Golapani. Katie Sports Robbo. Toffee Doha. And Dashing DD. Thank you so much, guys. That's 4 new followers, which is just amazing. All right, we're talking about theatre this afternoon. We've got our theatre lovies in the studio. We've got Penny and we've got Liz with us this afternoon. Talking about acting, talking about maybe kids who want to get into an acting career who are just leaving school in Dubai. We got into a conversation there about how you get into drama school. Now, I mistakenly thought you could just decide to go if you wanted to, and said to you both, maybe there's parents sending their kids off to do performing arts and the kids are not talented enough. They're not going to make it. Should we tell them like how to spot if they are talented enough? And you said to me, no, you don't get in if you're not talented enough.
Yeah, basically, there are very, very few places. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of applicants for the top drama schools each year, and they have something like 40 places. So if you've got through the very grueling rounds of auditions, you are good. You can be assured of that.
Do you have to do the auditions there? Would you have to, if you were a student here, would you have to fly to wherever you want to get into drama school and do auditions in that city?
Generally, yes.
You also need recommendations.
Yes, that helps. But in terms of the auditions process, most of the top drama schools will make you go. Not all of them, though. I've worked with some students here who are going to the States, and some of the ones in the States, you can send a video audition instead. But all of the ones that I know in London, yeah, you have to physically attend.
Do you think it's actually more challenging for students based here to then move on to a prestigious international drama school? Are they at any disadvantage for being an international student?
Not for being an international student. What I would say here is that they probably haven't had as much experience or exposure, particularly in terms of the productions that they can see. There's not that much opportunity to see a wide range of productions. However, I do know that quite a few high schools take trips. They take the students to London, to New York to see things, but on a regular basis, they don't have the same exposure.
And it is a lot better now than it was. It's improving all the time. But I think that having experience in productions, understanding how a theatre works, all of that really helps.
And there are some wonderful drama programs in some of the schools. Well, the first time I went to the American School of Dubai, to ASD, it blew my mind. They have a 600, I think it is, seater theatre designed by a Broadway designer they flew in.
Whoa.
They have full-time theatre technicians. They have a black box. They have their own wardrobe department. They're taught well.
That's amazing. I remember our stage back at school and it was crummy.
Yeah, and they're not the only ones. If you go in quite a number of the schools, they have better theatres in the schools than they do outside the schools.
When I was doing drama, it was kind of the subject that you did if you weren't clever enough to do the others. Has that changed?
I would like to think so, yeah. And it is. It is actually many of the things sort of at GCSE and then at A level. It's not just a practical subject either. There's a lot of theory. There's also a lot of writing involved. Some would argue too much. But yeah, it's theoretical as well.
Brett's on one. You know, we were talking about how you can get into acting in later life, and is it even possible to do that? He says, Danny Trejo started in later life and became a regular working actor. I do not know who he is. He cannot be as big as Brad Pitt. Terry Crews as well. He started as a bodyguard and then started being pulled in as an extra. Wow, to be spotted, that's the dream. And Ken Jeong, he started in his 40s and was a doctor as well. Did you see that Michael Fassbender has taken a step out of acting?
Ooh.
In his 40s. Yeah. He's kind of like, I've made it and this is not challenging enough. And he's a racing car driver now.
That's pretty impressive. He's multi-talented.
I feel like we all think of acting as being an amazing opportunity. And oh, if only I could do that. Do you think if you were a famous actor that you would potentially get bored? I mean, when he was talking about racing cars, he said something like, you know, it sure beats sitting at home learning lines.
Well, everybody wants new kicks, right? No
yeah.
matter what you are. If you're a lawyer, you want to be a doctor. If you're an actor, you want to be a racing car driver. It's like you want the other, the different. It's always more exciting on the other side, right?
Is it the dream job we think it is, though?
That depends on what kind of, whether you get work or not. I mean, it can't be fun looking for work and not getting it. And I also, I don't know about you, Liz, but I think that if you get stuck in the same role for a very, very long time, that can't be challenging.
Maybe not, but it's also very very comforting, I think, because you've got your regular job and your regular income and you're doing what you love, you're acting. So, I mean, people do take that and run with it as well. At least it's regular work, right?
Well, you guys were just talking about regular work. I was wondering, are there enough opportunities for those people who want to be actors here? We were talking about more people trying to take these classes and trying to establish themselves as actors here in the UAE. Are there enough opportunities for that?
The answer is basically no. However, like many things in Dubai, it's developing. I mean, I've been in Dubai 6 years, and the growth in this area in 6 years has been phenomenal. And I think it's still growing. And I think that you will see in the future very much an industry around the creative arts. I think there will be much more. There's a strong film industry now, but I think it's going to be much more so. And I think that you'll probably find that Dubai or the UAE is actually the center of the GCSE or the region for arts, for filmmaking, for production. I think it's happening slowly, but it's happening.
Without a doubt. And not just that, there are far more opportunities for people here compared to the vast number of people elsewhere. So I know a lot of people who have gotten work in the UAE where they have never gotten work elsewhere.
Yeah, big fish, small pond.
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say that actually. You know how you have to be a triple threat these days? You need to be able to act, sing and dance. In Dubai, could you get away with being half threat?
Yeah, you can, absolutely. There are triple threats out there, but certainly there's also quarter threats too.
Yep. Do you have to be a triple threat, do you think, to make it big these days? Is there anyone who could be in the cinema next time you go in a major film that can't do it all?
Yeah, there are. There are actors who are...
Yeah, I don't believe you, Liz.
Really?
I don't think you would be getting into the acting
schools. Do you think Judi Dench is a triple threat?
She trained in a different time. I think now...
Right now, you mean?
Right now, if you're going to get into the acting schools you were telling me about in London and New York, I don't think they let you in. Like, what are they looking for?
But they do. It's a different course. So there's a different course of musical theatre and just straight acting. Now, as a straight actor, it will be unlikely at audition you'll be asked at all to do anything about song and dance. There are some schools that make you do a little bit, just to check if you're not tone deaf, for example, or if you can be directed and choreographed. But that's not what they're looking for.
But
they're looking for acting skills.
They are. But going forward to have a career, you would then, you would be very wise.
It's certainly helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the, you know, you're better qualified and better trained for today's world if you are a triple threat, for sure.
It would be impossible for me. I can't sing and I can't dance and I can't act. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
But you know
what?
You'd be surprised at what you can do when somebody sits down and trains you.
I have sang with the musical director of Les Mis. Would you like me to get that clip out?
I really would. I really, really would.
I'm going to look for that clip. You'll be sorry that you said that. So when you walk into an audition, will the drama school that you have been to play a part in whether you get the role that you are auditioning for? That's what I want to know.
It depends what role and where, but if you're looking for big roles in theatres or movies, then unfortunately the answer is probably yes. Again, if you've got a lot of experience, that will count as well. But if you're kind of fresh or relatively new out and you don't have much experience behind you, then the name of the drama school, it's a bit like saying you've been to, I don't know, Harvard or Yale or Oxbridge. It's the same thing. If you've got a great big name and brand behind you, then sure, that's going to help.
It is going to make a big difference, I think, particularly in the with acting and music. If it comes from a university angle, then the fact that you did drama at university, sometimes you do a drama degree and you actually never even set foot on a stage. It's possible.
Is that so?
Yeah.
When we talk about getting trained in acting, going back to that thought, are there different types of trainings? You've mentioned method acting. Are they all created equal, or some forms of training better than others?
The drama school training gives you an overview of all things. So it focuses on voice. It focuses on the body, it focuses on characterization, it focuses on looking at text, as well as sort of professional training for how to get into and work in the industry. The method acting schools, which are more American-based, are focusing on one particular method. So, for example, you're looking at Meisner or Stella Adler or Lee Strasberg. So they're looking at particular one person's method of acting. But the broader sort of three-year courses at drama schools will encompass all of that and more.
We're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about theatre. We're sticking with it this afternoon. We're going to be asking if you're too old to go to drama school when you hit your mid-30s. Do they let you in if you're a little bit older? Also, we'll be telling you about all the workshops that are being offered here in Dubai for actors.
Stage Door. Stage Door.
We have the gorgeous Penny and we also have the lovely Liz.
Hello.
Now, before the break there, you both said there's nothing that can't be trained when it comes to being a triple threat. So if you can't dance a bit, if you can't sing a bit, if you can't act a bit, you can learn. And I said to you, mm-mm. I have stood in a little room with the musical director of Les Mis and had him train me. And yeah, it was very awkward. I've managed to find the clip. Just tell me if you think you could train me.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
That was truthfully better than I was expecting.
You said it was awful.
Good.
That was
not awful. Listen, I couldn't have done that first time cold.
That wasn't first time. That was at the end.
No, but it was still not awful. No. You were like, oh, you're going to laugh so much. It wasn't bad.
You did sound very young.
We're not laughing. I thought that had a lot of potential.
Thanks. Yeah. It seemed very truthful as well.
Keep trying?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a really positive industry, this theatre industry. I really like it.
You can entertain Simon in the van.
He loves my singing. Are you ever too old to go to drama school? Could I walk in there now, 39, and go, look, I think I was always meant to be a star?
Can I say something here?
Yeah,
I took, for the first time ever, a couple of weeks ago, I started an improv class because I had to. And I can't tell you how much I love it.
Really?
I absolutely love it.
You said you had to, as though like you'd done a crime and they said, I'm sorry, we won't put you inside, but you have to do this class.
No, I had to do it for work so that I would know what it was all about.
Ah.
And I was kind of like, oh, well, I'm a good sport. I'll do this. Well, I tell you what, wild horses are not going to drag me away from it. I'm going to carry on doing it.
Ah. Is that at the courtyard?
Yep.
They're very good, aren't they?
it is, and it's just so much fun.
What's fun about it? Is it actually doing the course? Is it the people you meet?
It's a combination, I think. I mean, for me, it was the fact that you have to let go. With improv, you have to let go. And for me, drama's always been kind of controlled and learn your lines and control your voice and control your movement and all of that. And improv is almost the opposite of that. And you have to be a little bit silly and at times so that you can just be free. Honestly, at the end of it, I thought, I could have gone and done a yoga class and I would have been feeling probably as relaxed as I feel now.
Wow, that's so cool.
It was very cool.
Workshops that are being offered, we've got to get to those. Can you tell us about, if people are listening going, you know what, I think this could be for me, even if it's not going to be a profession, then it might be a nice thing just for my confidence or just to meet some new people.
I can do that. In fact, over summer, we've got a few drop-in classes that would be quite fun for somebody who wants to just test the water. So actually, this might be for you, depending on when you're leaving. On the 7th of July from 1:30 to 4:30, we are having a musical improv class.
What does that mean?
Well, you'll have to come and find out.
So we've got what you want?
You will learn how to have an idea thrown at you and you will sing. You will sing the...
Sounds perfect.
It's wonderful. It's a great way to start.
No.
Look at her face.
Do it. I've got a better idea.
What?
I've been helping Sonal all week. We've been working on Sonal. Let's do this with Sonal on the radio.
Yeah?
Okay, let's do a little test. Right.
Okay, so
okay, how does it
now?
Work? How yeah. does this work?
Okay, are you up for this? Are we going to get you to do a little bit of improvised singing?
This is literally two of the things I'm the most scared of, singing in public and improv. And you've put them together and put me on the spot. Thanks, Steph.
Well, we can do it on the radio because I'm on the radio and I am singing because I've been, because I have to.
I mean, it's Steph's last day. We're trying to make it really special.
That's super cute. You've got a great voice.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that you do.
They have to answer in song, Steph.
It's my last day and then it's finished. I don't have to do no prep tomorrow.
See, musical improv. Live demonstration.
For some reason, I always turn into a farmer. Why?
So if anybody wants to give that a go, you need to register for that. But it's absolutely brilliant fun. We've got Bart van Loon, who's taking the class. He's a guest instructor. He'll be coming from Belgium, so... it's a worthwhile thing to give it a go. On the 14th of July, from 12 to 3, we have improv with another guest instructor. We've got Jess Taylor, who's here at the moment from South Africa, and she will be doing a general improv class as a one-off through the summer, a little taster, get an idea of it. And then on the 21st of July, again from 12 to 3, we've got another one-off class with one of our own instructors, Marie.
Do you have to be funny to do improv, or
Absolutely.
Can it be serious?
No. Am I funny? No.
You can be funny?
I'm not funny. I'm not a funny person. I'm very stuck in the mud and boring.
What happens if nothing comes out of your mouth? What if you just can't think of anything to say in response? Or does that not happen?
The whole point of improv is that you work as a team and people help you. That's the thing that I really enjoyed about it. And what helps you be able to let go is that you are supported all the time by the people with you. For improv to work, you have to give. So you help the people around you. It makes them look good. It makes you look good.
What else do you think you got out of it?
Apart from the relaxation, the confidence, learning to think quite quickly on your feet. You have to do that quite well. And learning how to work as a team. Do you need more?
And I think it's as well what Steph said before, that you know you're part of a community as well, and you meet new people. It's a new hobby, and you know it's quite a close-knit community, right? And people really make some good friends out of it and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. That's I would say that's one of the biggest things that comes out of it. Thank you for mentioning that.
To finish up today, you know, unless you've got something else.
I had a quick question. For those who are looking to take their acting a little bit more seriously, they want to take some courses. How do you do your due diligence on finding the right course, on finding the right instructor?
That's a tough question in Dubai because it's unregulated. So there are quite a number of, for children, I think it's quite easy because there are quite a number of children's theatre schools out there. For example, you have Hayley's Comet, you have Drama Scene, you have the Courtyard also teaches children. You have quite a number of large theatre schools for children. For adults, I think it's a little bit more tricky. And I think they're also trying to find out, ask the questions is what I would say. Ask the questions about the instructors, about who they are, about what their background, what their training is, because just like anyone could be an actor, so anyone can be an instructor. So find out about the people delivering the courses as well as finding out the content of the course.
Yeah, find out what their qualifications are. Also, try and go with an organization that is registered with the KHDA. You know, that they've done the right thing there just for a start, I would say.
Yeah.
Ask what drama school they've been to.
I beg your pardon?
Ask what drama school they went to. If it's Juilliard, you can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong.
Before we go, I just want some quick tips on, if we're travelling this summer, what we can go and see theatre-wise around the world that would be good.
Sure. Well, I'll be in London, so there's lots and lots of festivals going on in London. So everyone's heard of Edinburgh, but there's two major ones going on in London at the moment that are really interesting. There's the Lift Festival, which is throughout the month of June, which only happens every 2 years, and happens across London. Lots and lots of different venues, not only in theatres, but also in art galleries and lots of hidden spaces, different spaces. And then there's the Greenwich and Docklands Festival, which is from June the 22nd till July 7th, which is free, which is even better.
That's great.
And most of the events are outdoors as well. So there's theatre, there's performance art, there's dance, there's song. And this year it's focusing on the 70th anniversary of the Windrush, landing in Tilbury Docks from Jamaica. So it's a lot to do with London's story of diversity and movement of people across borders, which is quite ironic with Brexit, but still the diverse makeup of London and how people are sort of integrated based on Windrush. And that happens across the Greenwich Peninsula and across the Royal Docks, all of these outdoor spaces. And it's even happening, some performances on the cable cars, on the Emirates Airline cable cars in London.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
It
what about
does.
You, Pen?
In terms of things to do outside of Dubai over the summer?
Theatre-wise?
Well, I'm kind of leaning towards Africa and Cape Town. They have a very vibrant drama scene. So when you go there, go online and see, because they've got some very small little pop-up type places that do things. But they have the Baxter Theatre in Cape Town, which is very close to my heart. I love the architecture of the building. It's quite stunning, and they have a variety of different programs running there. But if you're going to be there between the 3rd and the 28th of July this year, they have a play called The Year of Magical Thinking. It's in the Golden Arrow Studio, so it's a slightly smaller venue, which is part of the Baxter Theatre. And I think it'll be quite moving. It's not terribly light, but I think it'll be worth watching. A journey through the universal experience of human suffering, moving, harrowing, amusing, ultimately an expression of the power that love gives to life's meaning. So I think that's quite touching. But if you're going this week, if you're going to be in Cape Town this week, and I'm actually really sorry that I'm missing this, there's a play on called Love Factually. And it's an absolutely hilarious solo show exploring Tinder, text breakups, online attractions, distractions. It explores being single, getting married, the gift of having children, all from a man's perspective, sort of how to survive as a postmodernist, quasi, demi, semi, multi-mano metrosexual. Now, the guy who's acting this was in a show called Defending the Caveman, which he did for quite a few years, which was hysterical and used to get women quite upset. But it was very funny.
I have to ask you quickly about the summer camps, because then I have to throw you out forever.
Oh, yes, please let me tell you about the summer camps here. So Courtyard are running summer camps this year for the first 3 weeks of July. We are having summer camps for older children, which will be improvisation based. So all of the things that I just told you, which are so marvellous about improvisation, you can come to that. And we are also running camps for younger children, 4 to 7 years old. And those will be 3 camps. Sort of about the themes of sort of drama, puppetry, all based on Julia Donaldson's stories. These are delightful for children to come to.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
Penny, Liz, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure working with you over the last few years. Oh, got a gulp in my throat.
Thank you, Steph.
It's been great. Thank you, girls.
I'm so sad.
Yeah, I know.
Stage Door.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.